The Big 550 KTRS.
8:41, we are back. Time to check in with Dick Weiss, our media critic, weisswright.com, also stlbeacon.org, longtime editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Good morning this morning, Mr. Weiss.
Good morning. Ready to bring the heat.
Throw
the high, hard ones.
Yeah, throwing inside. what do you think of the Belleville West bus incident coverage that not only gained local, regional, as well as national coverage?
Oh, what a shame. What a shame. You know, this was a case, it looks as if, just a couple of bullies beating up on a kid, and it just got way out of hand. I think having that video, making that video available certainly stirred the pot, and then a police official declaring that it was a racial matter when he had to backtrack and say it wasn't.
Right.
And then a certain national talk show host gets in on the act and says, this is Obama's America, and it's just, you know, hand a guy a Molotov cocktail, and he throws it into a flaming house.
Now, what's interesting is the police officers, or the police, normally comment as little as possible. Here, the police officer from Belleville said, well, clearly from watching the video, it's a racial incident.
Right. I watched it, and, yeah, there's a African-American kid beating up on a white kid. I saw a white kid urging him on, laughing.
Right.
At least one.
Right.
And so that would give you pause. I think as I read the initial Post-Dispatch report, I hadn't looked at what was in the Belleville News Democrat. You know, there was a kind of a line in there. It says, well, where the reporter asked, well, what makes you think it was racial? And this guy pretty much insisted it was. But you know, I think sometimes you have to go a little bit further and really outline, you know, what you see in that video and what questions weren't answered about making it racial, because that is, you know, that's an extremely sensitive matter, particularly in Belleville.
Right.
And while the Belleville police said that they have undergone sensitivity training and whatnot, this guy did not get enough.
Well, and then when he backs off, it was not even 24 hours. It was less than a day. Once it appeared, he was on Jayco's show later in the day, and then he backs off that. People don't believe him. People think that he retracted or backed off what he said because the police chief got to him and the mayor got to him, and so people don't believe him once he backtracked from what he said.
Right. And you know what? It could have been racial. You don't know what's in people's hearts.
Right.
And but you just don't put that out there because, again, you don't know what's in people's hearts and what motivates them. And certainly lots of things happen on buses that are difficult and, in this case, disgraceful,
right,
but not necessarily racial.
All right. Well, we're criticizing the people who are making the news. How about the people who are reporting the news? The Associated Press says the news media's credibility is as high as its revenues.
Good way of putting it. Nearly two-thirds of Americans think the news stories they read, hear, and watch are frequently inaccurate. And that is the worst mark, highest level of skepticism recorded since 1985, according to the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press. And, you know, that doesn't surprise me because there is a lot of stuff out there that is inaccurate. And people probably now, 1985, the internet wasn't so
didn't exist,
hardly existed. And now it's all, you know, we're talking when people are asked, they're thinking bloggers, they're thinking websites that are
right,
not well sourced.
I don't believe this story.
Yeah, maybe
because
it's worse. It's worse than people think, probably.
No. Because you can't just say the news stories you hear or read, because you are reading a news story. Are you reading a news story? Are you not reading a news story? Is it a news story? Is it an opinion piece based on a news story? Is
exactly.
It, you know, there's so much misinformation out there and so many facts that are skewed. I you know, you really need to be careful what you call news media these days.
And there are a whole lot more critics out there, including me,
right,
who are telling you that what you're reading isn't necessarily the
right.
truth.
The full story. Yeah. What's this Slate story?
Well,
speaking of things,
President Obama actually gave an example in his speech to Congress about a lack of health care and how people get cut off, and he used an example of a person from Illinois who lost his coverage in the middle of chemotherapy. because his insurer found he hadn't reported gallstones that he didn't even know about. That delayed the treatment, and he died because of it, the president said. Well, that wasn't exactly true. Where did he get that story? And it turned out he got it from a story that a guy at Slate had written. And he'd gotten it from some congressional testimony. And he just read, unfortunately, didn't read all the way down through the testimony. And it turned out the guy did get some coverage. And he died 3 years later. And it was a big mess. But it wasn't the way President Obama gave it. And so this guy, Tim Noah, a Harvard-educated journalist, did a kind of a big mea culpa in Slate in which he said how the mistake had happened. It goes on for, I don't know, it's like a 1,500-word apology pretty much by this guy. So here, confirming again, you can't always believe what you read in a pretty credible outlet like Slate.
Has the White House retracted what they
said? I think they...
Because Bush the White House had to admit that those 14 words from that State of the Union shouldn't have been in that piece. Has the White House retracted what Obama said?
Right, exactly. And as Tim Noah said, this wasn't exactly yellow cake in terms of a mistake, because it was pretty true. It was close to being true.
Oh boy, why is it that this Harvard murder was such a big story?
Well, this is a little bit of I'm going to pass along what Jack Schaefer, another media critic, also for Slate, said. He said, you know, if you're murdered and expect decent press coverage, please have the good sense to be at Harvard or Yale, because you'll get 10 times the coverage. You got the New York Times is going to go all out for this. But if you're at Oklahoma State or Nebraska, you mentioned your alma mater, you're just not going to get near the coverage, because Harvard and Yale are seen as iconic. And some of the people, just Timothy Noah, they come from Harvard. They want their children to go to Harvard, and so that is a big deal for them. Whereas out here in the Midwest, murders happen, not as much coverage.
Well, I mean, it really wasn't the best of all worlds, because it was a minority who was killed.
Oh,
if it was a white person who was killed, that would have been a bigger story.
But it did help that she was discovered on her wedding day.
Right.
That ramped that up. And but his Jack Schaefer's rule of thumb is that three murders at a Midwestern college equal one murder at Harvard or Yale. So,
all right, Dick Weiss,
elitist.
And what's going on in the? We're short on time. Best story we've never read.
The best story you never read is a piece in the Beacon by Jean Paul, who battled with, suffered from, and right now is beating ovarian cancer. And she tells her story, and she also talks about why it's important. And this is a very silent killer, why it's important for other people to tell their stories about ovarian cancer, because the symptoms are often hidden. So I recommend to you, it's on my site at weissright.com, but also, of course, on the Beacon under the health tab.
STLbeacon.org. Dick Weiss, thanks for checking in.
Okay.
8:49, we'll check in with the Moon Man, Mike Shannon. We'll do that next on KTRS.